Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the 19th of June, 2024. Flyers Daily, as always, presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. We're taping the episode here at about 6:43 Eastern, about an hour and 15 minutes before puck drop. And what I'll just say now, I think the Florida Panthers will win the Stanley Cup tonight. You'll know the answer when you hear this or watch this, but that's my pregame prediction. And that'll officially put a bow on the 23-24 season for the NHL. Still have the buyout period coming up. We'll see if the Flyers are active in that with Cam Atkinson or Cal Peterson. Still have the draft coming up in the league year, which will be on the 28th. And free agency and a new league year will begin coming up on July 1st. And this is just right around the corner at this point. Now, also right around the corner, we got some news, and that was that the Flyers announced their 24-25 preseason schedule. Now, the preseason slate, we don't know exactly the date for camp yet, but the first preseason game will take place on Sunday, September 22nd, at Capital One Arena. It's a 3 o'clock game, and that will be a matinee, and the Flyers' road trip will continue on Monday. So Sunday and Monday, the 22nd and 23rd. The second one will be at the Bell Center, of all places, in Montreal for a game that Monday night at 7 o'clock. Then a couple of days between games, Flyers will have their first two preseason games at home on the 26th and 28th of September. That's a Thursday and a Saturday against the Islanders in Boston, respectively. Then the Flyers on the 30th, that Monday, will go to USB Arena to take on the Islanders. They'll go to Boston and TD Garden on October 1st to take on the Bruins, and they'll wrap up the preseason October 3rd against the New Jersey Devils at Wells Fargo Center. So all said and done, Flyers with 7 preseason games, and if we're counting down the days, and you know I am, I got my little handy countdown app here, and the first Flyers preseason game from when you're hearing this is 113 The preseason game is 94 days from now. Flyers will take on the Washington Capitals. We'll see if Ovi's in the lineup. And the Flyers, I'm presuming their first regular season game will be a week later after their last preseason game on October 3rd, and it'll be October 10th. And that first preseason game for the Flyers is 113 days away. So we're not that far off. Now, in this episode, two things. We're going to have our Flyers Exit Day interview series continue with an in-season acquisition. And it was a big one. It was the Cutter Gauthier trade to Anaheim for Jamie Drysdale. And Jamie is a very, very important player for this Philadelphia Flyers team. There is a lot riding on Jamie Drysdale. He's a high first-round pick. You traded Cutter Gauthier, who's going to be a high-end, likely a high-end scoring winger in the NHL, maybe center, probably winger, and Drysdale plays the right side. He's the unicorn. Can skate like the wind. We found out that he did have a lower abdominal, I believe, core surgery right at the end of the season. Was never 100% this year. Missed some games with the shoulder. Did finish the season on the ice. And I always talk about the greatest ability in sports is availability, and that's a big question for Jamie Drysdale. So we're going to get to that in a moment. And I also want to get, before I put a bow, a complete bow on the Philadelphia Flyers 2023-2024 season, I have a list of the top 10 things we learned about the Flyers in 23-24. I'm going to read all 10 of them in this episode, and I'm going to discuss a few of them, and we'll do that over the next couple episodes to discuss them in more detail. But they're the things that we learned. We'll get to that after Jamie Drysdale. So let's get to the conversation now, though. I had a chance to catch up with Jamie. Like Cam York, a very chill guy and extremely laid back. Doesn't get overly emotional in conversation. But when he plays, there's a lot of competitor in there. And we saw a lot of that with Cam York. And we saw, in a smaller sample, with Jamie Drysdale. Here's my conversation with the Flyers' blue liner at the end of the season.
It is Flyers Exit Day, Flyers Daily on the road, and we're with Flyers defenseman Jamie Drysdale. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I remember sitting with you at the carnival and saying, are you going to get back this year? And you had a look on your face and said, yeah, I'm going to get back this year. I'm close. And damn it if you didn't get back.
Yeah.
Felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, it definitely felt good. It was nice to get back. I mean, there was definitely a few question marks, but... Yeah, there wasn't. I don't think there was a way that I wasn't going to at least try and get it in a game, in a few games there. So, no, it was good to get back on the ice.
How important is it for you to end the season on the active roster and playing as opposed to being out? And just if you just would have flushed the rest of the year and not gotten back?
Yeah.
It's a huge difference, I imagine, mentally.
100%. I mean, it's no secret the last couple of years have been trying to think of a different word. Not ideal in terms of the injuries and the consistency of playing. There hasn't been a lot of that. So, I think that's just the goal now is just to find some consistency and make sure the body's right.
How do you attack this summer? Do you attack it in any different ways from a preparation standpoint? I mean, going into last year, were you coming off injury and rehabbing or?
Yeah.
So that's a big difference unto itself.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been, there's been a lot of rehab, a lot of.
Enough of this rehab, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, it's no fun. It's not ideal, but, the guys here have been unbelievable with it. So, I'll be here this summer, just getting right. So that's the plan.
Jamie, you get treated in season from 3,000 miles away to hear happens when your team, your day one of a Nashville trip. I'm going, does Jamie even have a pair of pants? Because, you know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Can you now finally get your legs completely under you with everything that kind of transpired this season for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty big whirlwind of a year, just overall. Obviously, with being banged up the start of the year and then getting pretty much right when I got back.
Yeah, it dealt right away.
I think I played 4 or 5 games and then got traded then. And then came here and then messed up the shoulder a little bit. So, I mean, I don't want to kind of think about that stuff too much at this point. But, it was a wild year, but there's still a lot of positives. I mean, I'm super happy to be here. Group's unbelievable. Teams looks like it's heading in a real good direction. The staff, just the place. I'm real comfortable here now, so it didn't take too long for that to happen. So, I'm just looking forward to years to come.
What will you do to kind of have the decompression element of when you go back home and get to the cottage and just sit out there and listen to the crickets one night, have a cocktail, and kind of go, oh, wow.
Yeah, no.
What a year that was.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think, it's always nice to go home and just kind of be around the people that you grew up with and family and friends and just kind of step away for a few days or a week or whatnot. But, so that'll be the plan. It's definitely a little bit weird. I didn't play as much hockey as I would have liked to this year, but that's just more kind of, I guess, motivation to really really push it, and I think it's a really important summer for me.
Are you one of those guys that likes to get on the ice early?
Yeah.
So you like to skate?
Yeah.
You want that to be a big part of your program. I know Cam York mentioned that he was going to be here this summer as well.
Yeah.
I've called him the single biggest storyline from an individual player standpoint this year to his development. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a guy that you got a lot of respect for.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to tell him too much, to be honest with you, but,
he wants head getting too big.
Exactly. Yeah. It's plenty big enough already, but, he definitely lets me know every time he gets off the bus before me, but, when I got here, I was really impressed with his game. I played him a few times just in like junior tournaments and stuff like that. But, I know from what everyone's kind of been saying around here and whatnot, he was real good. And I actually, tried to pick up a few things from his game. So, you know, I guess that's the plan for next year for me as well. So
and working with Bradshaw another full season.
Exactly. So no, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, and Shawzy can talk till the cows come home, but there's a lot of hockey IQ coming out of that mouth, isn't there?
Oh man, yeah, he's definitely hands down, not even close, the biggest hockey brain I've ever.
Is that right?
Oh my God. Well, it's just all the little things that,
yeah,
you know, intricacies. I feel like I've been around just hockey in general. I mean, it's been my whole life.
So. Yeah.
And just the amount of things that little tiny things where he's just mentioned and showed where, like, I'm like, okay, no standard eye would see this. Like, nothing actually happens in this play, but what you're telling me completely makes sense where you could have an impact on. It's just more consistency and building a rounded game, and it's real cool to listen to, actually.
He's one of those guys that'll belch in passing, and he just belched out like amazing hockey knowledge.
Exactly.
Just legit, always, he can't help it.
I know.
It's awesome.
Very true.
Jamie, enjoy this off season, man. I know it's a big one for you, and it's been great getting to know you this year, and look forward to next steps of your career here in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
thanks for doing this, and best of luck this summer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
There he is, Flyers defenseman Jamie Drysdale. And I imagine we talked kind of in the beginning of that interview about being able to really settle in here in Philadelphia. I mean, played about four or five games for Anaheim, came east, kind of east for a road trip to go to Nashville for what I think was a 10 or 11 day trip. Packed all his stuff for a 10 or 11 day trip to go to Nashville, Dallas, and a couple other places as a member of the Ducks. Got traded when he got to Nashville to Philadelphia. And I'd imagine in season, it's impossible to ever really get everything settled. Your living arrangements, your just everything. Getting your car here and getting all that stuff, doing that in season is very difficult. But now he's got a lot of time this offseason to really settle into the area. You know, he did mention the guys are great, team's going in the right direction, those things are all good, but to really be able to settle in and truly not have to worry about any of that other stuff while you're trying to defend the top players in the NHL, I imagine, is a good thing. So we hope great things for Jamie Drysdale. And like I said before the interview, you can see just how chill Jamie Drysdale is. Real chill guy. There's a lot of confidence in there. But he's not going to be a guy that's going to have to tell you about it. He's just going to go out and do. And I can't wait to see him 100% healthy and that mobility that he provides and see what what kind of impact he can have on that power play. Because Lord knows they need some impact on the power play. All right. So before we put the bow on the 23-24 season, you know, we're going to get done this list over the next episode or two. And we're going to put that in the rearview mirror. We're going to put the season in the review. We're going to take the things we've learned, the good, the bad, the in-between, all of that stuff, and we're just going to move forward. We're going to start looking ahead to the next season because we still have draft coming up, and we'll be talking to draft players here on the podcast. We have prospect camp coming up in the beginning of July, so we'll be talking a lot of the prospects, and then before you know it, players start to sprinkle in mid-late August. And captain skates start, and some will start to talk to those guys and the coaching staff and management as well. Going to speak with Danny Briere and Brent Flair in advance of the draft. That'll be here on Flyers Daily as well. So we'll have that content for you. But before I wanted to move on, I just wanted to kind of memorialize 10 things that I learned in the 23-24 season. And I'm just going to read the 10 off now, and I'll go through a couple of them. These are in no particular order. They kind of just came to me. And one of the things you heard Jamie Drysdale talk about was one of the things we learned to get even more so this past season is that Bradshaw's work with the D is as important as any coaching role in the Flyers organization. It is paramount. The job that he has done, Ristolainen missed a lot of time this past year, but when he did play, played well. Really came around in year one of John Tortorella with Bradshaw. That was a big element. I think Cam York's development was a big element. Travis Sanheim's back, revenge tour season was a big element that had to do with Bradshaw. And going forward. I think Bradshaw really helped the Flyers get a first-round pick with the way Sean Walker was used and the way that he was coached and the situations he was put in. Bradshaw's job as a coach with this team is as important as any in the organization, and that's including John Tortorella. It's right there with the head coach. So that is a huge thing. Let me list off the other ones, and I'll discuss a few more. The second one was about a core starting to take shape, starting to take form, a young core. And we'll talk about the specific players of that young core in a moment. Number three was that the power play has got to improve. We learned that again this year. We thought we learned that a season prior in the 22-23 season, but we learned that it has to improve. And not just a little bit. It has to improve significantly. If the power play does not improve next season, I don't give a damn what happens. The season's a failure. Unless they win the cup. But you know what I'm saying. The power play has got to improve. Operating below 15% at 12.2%, last in the league 2 years in a row, not going to cut it. Has to improve. Number four was that the way the Flyers played in the 23-24 season, high pace, transition hockey, off the rush, is way more enjoyable than sitting back and trying to trap teams. Playing off the rush is a more successful, at least for the regular season, way to play the game, especially when you don't have guys that can just shoot and score from everywhere, getting those off the rush opportunities. It's way more entertaining. And dare I say, Matvei Michkov, when he comes over, watching him off the rush, maybe that's this offseason, I don't know. Wow, he'll be spectacular off the rush, the way the Flyers played this past season. Accountability, we learned this year that clearly no one is immune from accountability. Whether that was Joel Farabee taking two shifts in a game and working the door, Sean Couturier being named captain and healthy scratched, even though obviously he was dealing with an injury. No one is immune from the accountability. Number six, that Daniel Briere and Keith Jones can operate in the shadows in a clandestine way. To me, it's very telling. We'll talk about that one coming up. Number seven, we learned that sometimes the greatest kind of spreader of propaganda or what you're doing is when you trade a guy. I think the Flyers' greatest messenger that things are different in Philadelphia is Sean Walker. We'll talk about that. The Flyers, we learned this in 23-24. Flyers can beat anyone. They can play with anyone. There's only one team in the entire NHL. I think only two teams did this last season, maybe three. There's only one team in the NHL the Flyers didn't win a game against last year. Do you know who it is? It's the Nashville Predators. They played the Preds twice, and they actually got a point out of the Preds. They went 0-1-1. Other than that, they beat everybody. They beat Edmonton. They beat Florida in Florida 2-1 multiple times. They beat Tampa. They beat Boston. They beat the Rangers. They beat Vancouver twice. They beat Winnipeg twice. They beat Dallas once and lost in overtime another time. They can play with anyone. They beat Toronto. They can beat anybody in this league. That's a very good thing and a good skill to have in a rebuild, that you can win against any team in the league, because you have to win those games sometimes in different ways. This one I'm gonna hold myself back from talking about it in this episode, because we're gonna talk about it in Friday's episode, because it's gonna be something I'm gonna ask Danny Briere about. But we cannot go through another season where Morgan Frost is a healthy scratch. Can't do it. He's either in the lineup every game or trade him. You gotta pick one of those two things. Talk about that more on Friday. And then the last one, and this one is so important, of the 10, from a sheer operational standpoint, the Flyers are operating
much better than they have in the last decade since 2014. Whether you can look at marketing, messaging, a plan, a decisive plan that is articulated to the fan base with as much transparency as you can provide and direction and sticking to that plan, eventually that will lead to success. Now, the big question about it is, yeah, they're operating better. You don't win any trophies for operating well. But eventual success, but when does that eventual success come? When are they a playoff team year in, year out on an arc to competing for a cup? That's the part we don't know. That's part of that's going to depend on Michkov. Part of that's going to depend on Oliver Bonk and Denver Barkey and other draft picks that they've already made. And also on the two picks in the first round they're going to have this year at 12 and 32. And then the two picks they have next year, are they both used? Do they move up this year? All of these things will go into that timeline of when. But operationally, this team is on the right path. And you can see it. And I think fans saw it. Because I saw those fans in that building last year. And I saw the Flyers crowd grow. Not only grow in numbers, but grow in passion. And revert in passion back to where, and that feeling that the Flyers, the connection the Flyers fan base had with the team for many, many years. I've worked for the team for a long time. Since 08, I've been doing intermissions. And the vibe, the feeling, the everything that you don't see behind the scenes is back up here. It wasn't. It didn't feel that way for a number of years. But that connection is being, it's not fully established yet. So I think the team needs to move forward this year. But it's being reestablished. And I think that is of huge, huge importance. A pro sports team, not just in Philadelphia, anywhere, but in Philadelphia and on the Northeast Quarter in particular, these teams are public trusts. There's a Comcast owns the team, or Ted Leonsis owns the team in Washington, whoever. But these teams are a public trust. And you have to earn that trust and keep that trust. You can't earn it and then fall back. You have to earn it and keep having that mentality of earning it. And last year was a big step in that direction. Need to follow that up this year. It'll be a big, big, big thing. So we'll get to some of these other particulars in Friday's episode. And we're going to put a bow on 23-24, and we're going to go, gone. It's done. Now we're looking ahead. I think we're going to get the schedule in the next week or so, and we can look ahead. Got to finish with 23-24, and then we're looking forward, and we are not looking back. And we'll see where things go. I'm looking forward to turning the page. It was a fun year of Flyers hockey. The league year's almost over. It was a really fun year of NHL hockey. But I think there's even better to come. I really do. But you got to have that plan. You got to have that direction. And you got to stick to it. And you cannot deviate. Do not microwave your food. It tastes like crap. It tastes like it was microwaved. I know you want to eat. You're hungry. You want to eat it faster, so you microwave it. Doesn't taste good. Can't microwave a rebuild either. Got to do it the right way. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for Jamie Drysdale stopping by. We'll be back Friday. I don't know if we're going to have a Flyers exit day interview on Friday, or maybe either Danny Briere or Brent Flair as we get ready for the draft. Tune in. Find out, as they say in radio parlance. Everybody, have a great couple of days. We'll talk to you on Friday on a brand new Flyers Daily.